pull it off and look at it, but I was trying to do it the easy way, and it got me in trouble. That happens sometimes when you try to do things the easy way. Anyway, my name is Matthew Keller, and with my wife Andrea and our son Gus, we are the Keller family sent out of Beth Haven Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and God is sending us to the needy field of Italy. Our family has been there a total of 3 times. The first 2 times were for shorter trips of about 2 weeks each. The first time we helped the Keister family move over there. And then the second time we went on our survey trip and in conjunction with the church mission trip over there. The last time we were there for 3 months, trying to get a feel for the culture, a start on the language, and an understanding of the place that God had called us to. While we were there, we got to explore much of the northern area of Italy, which is the area we're going to be going to. Got to see a lot of the cities and towns in that area, and got to see the serious dearth of the gospel that is present in the nation of Italy. Catholicism they have in abundance. Every little village has a Catholic church building. They use different names for them, I guess, depending on who's preached there. But whatever they are, it doesn't really make a difference, because they teach that baptism washes away your initial sin, and then you have to earn grace to pay for the rest of them. And they have a means that they say works that way, but there is no hope in that kind of a teaching, because our Lord said he made one sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down on the right hand of the Father. He said, "It is finished." It's not about what we do. It's about what he's done. And that's the message that we're going to be taking back to Italy, is the message that our Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for their salvation, and that he has offered it freely to all. We could not possibly earn it if we tried as hard as we could, but he's given it to us free of charge to us. It costs him everything, but it costs us nothing, because he's already paid the price. Once you're saved, you ought to love the Lord enough to do your best to please him. But the motivation is all about pleasing him. It's not about trying to get something out of him, because he's done so much for us. And it's kind of beside the point with the message I was planning on preaching today. Matthew chapter 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I thank you that you have chosen to invite your people to join you in the work that you're doing. Pray that you would bless and work in every heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. While we were there, as we were getting close to the end of our 3-month internship there in Italy, it was time to leave, so we made our way down to Rome. You can stay for 90 days on an American passport in Europe without having to have any special kind of long-term permission. And we waited until like day 86 or so to give ourselves just a little bit of cushion in case something went wrong. But we had done our 3 months. We were there, learned what we could learn. We got down to Rome, and we got our COVID testing done, which was a thing at that time. And we had everything ready. We had our masks on. We went to the airport. We checked our bags. We got through, got down to our gate where we were planning on leaving. It was at the very end of this very long terminal. And we waited for about an hour and a half. Well, after the hour and a half, they called the third boarding group, is the final boarding group, is the one we were in. We got up and we walked up to the lady that was checking people in, and we showed her our boarding passes, and she said, "Your mask is not good enough. You can't get on the plane." I had a little bit of a moment of panic there. I said, "I would love to put one on. Can you give me one?" "Oh no, we don't have any." I said, "Do you know where I can get one?" And she points back down this very long terminal. The last shopping I had remembered seeing was nearly a quarter mile away. And I thought, this is not good. So I trying to take care of what I could, I headed off down the hallway to see what I could find, and I ran into this big bank of vending machines. I thought maybe in a COVID-aware Italy, somebody thought to put masks in the vending machines. They probably could have made a killing if they'd done that, but there were no masks in the vending machines. So I went on around the corner, and I saw a little one of those little newsstand places that I had missed on my way through, the place where you can buy a bottle of water or maybe a candy bar or a bag of chips or something before you get on the plane. I thought, this must be what she's talking about. I looked all over that little store while they're loading the plane. The last boarding group is already boarding. I looked up and down. I went up and down every aisle. I looked all over the place. And finally, I found these two sanitation packs. They had wipes and gloves and all that kind of stuff in there. And each one had one mask. There were two of them. There were three of us. And the masks that were in there were exactly like the ones we were already wearing. And I thought, this is not good. And then I stood up from, I'd been bending down to look where I'd finally found them. I stood up and I looked at the counter, and there was a line. And it wasn't just two or three people. The line started at the counter, went out the door of the establishment, and about 40 feet down the hallway. My guess is a big plane had just unloaded, and quite a few of the people decided they wanted something from this shop. My chances of getting the two packages that had the masks in them that wouldn't have been the right ones to the counter to pay for them before their plane left? Zero. Perfect time to panic, right? Well, I would have. But this was not the first time we had encountered something bigger than us. Because when we got ready to go to Italy, our church's seminary requires of missions graduates that they spend an internship in the country they're going to. So we knew we were going on our internship. My plan was to keep working over the internet for the computer company I'd worked for nearly 29 years, and so fund our trip to Italy for 3 months. Well, with the time change, we realized that we wouldn't be able to get done the things we needed to get done in Italy if I continued working from there. And so I retired about 3 weeks before we were ready to leave. And at that point, I'm getting ready to pull my hair out. I'm thinking, how am I going to pay for this? Well, God said, Matthew, I've got this. I said, okay. So we continued making preparations and making plans and setting schedules and appointments and all the kinds of things that you need to do when you're planning to be gone for a long time. And about a week later, my boss called. He said, I want to give you a parting bonus. And he paid for the whole trip. Everything, one fell swoop. And I had to sit back and say, oh, me of little faith, wherefore did I doubt? That hurdle was financial in nature, and our God has no problems dealing with financial hurdles. He didn't have any problems dealing with any hurdles. That was just one example. A couple of weeks later, we were in Italy, and we ran into an administrative hurdle where, at the time, you had to have what was called a green pass to do most things in Italy. If you wanted to go into a store that wasn't a grocery store, you needed to have a green pass. You wanted to eat in a restaurant, you wanted to ride on public transportation, all this kind of stuff, and it was proof of either vaccination or recent recovery from COVID, and they said that our American cards should work. But unfortunately, our American cards were written in English, and not everybody that we tried to use them with at all of the stores in Italy accepted them because they didn't all read English. And our cards that we had didn't look all that official. In Italy, everything was very official. Everything is always on the up and up. It all looks the best. Our cards were little handwritten areas. And so we were having trouble getting done the things that we needed to do, finding out about the country, finding out about the places, what's available, where do you get stuff. And so it's like, what are we going to do? Well, we were told that if you send a picture of your American vaccination card, your passport info page, and your Italian ID, somebody who could read English would look at it all and issue a green pass. We thought, this is great. So we did that, and I filled out the application, sent in the pictures, heard nothing. 2, 3, 4 days later, it's like, okay, something's wrong. And we were told that you're supposed to get an answer back in a matter of hours. Well, I tried it again, filling out the applications again, sending in the pictures again. This time we got a response, an email, And I got into my wife's phone, went into her email, clicked on the button. It asked for the passport number, filled that out, and it gave her her green pass. Everything's good. Then I got onto my phone, got into my email, clicked on my button, entered my passport number when it asked for it. They said, "We don't have that passport number." So I tried it again. And again. And again. About the fifth time, I thought, you know, the definition of insanity is repeatedly trying the same thing, expecting a different result. So I said, this is not working. So I called the government helpline. Guess what language they speak on the government helpline in Italy? Yeah. It's not English. And that only resulted in them getting frustrated with me that I would try to call a government helpline and not have their language learned. Which, I'm planning to learn their language, but I'm not there yet. So that didn't accomplish anything, and I got off the phone, and I said, what are we going to do? And God said, Matthew, I've got this. I said, okay. It was getting late, so I went to bed. I woke up the next morning, and he said, what'd you give them? I said, well, I sent them those three photos and filled out the application. He said, look at the photos. So I pulled up the photos, and I looked, and sure enough, on my passport, which was the only one that had my passport number on it, there was just enough glare that one of the nines could have been mistaken for an eight. So I entered the wrong number, and they gave me my green pass. And we were able to get done the things that we needed to get done while we were there. Now, what in the world does this have to do with Matthew chapter 28? If you're starting to preach in verse number 19, it's really, really hard to see the connection. Verse number 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What's the third word of verse number 19? It's therefore. What are you supposed to do when you see a therefore? You find out what it's there for. And if this message was going to have a title, that'd be it. What's the therefore, therefore? In this case, it points back to verse number 18. What does verse number 18 say? Jesus came to his disciples and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then when he gets to verse number 19, he says, because I have all power, you can go. You see, the Great Commission, our part is the going. But it doesn't start with the going. The commission starts with the reminder that he has all power. What does all power even look like? How would you comprehend all power? So I try to define the word all. You know, it's not easy to find a definition for the word all that doesn't contain the word all. All means all, and that's all means. It's a great definition, but if you don't know what all means, it's really not that helpful. The best I could come up with is there's nothing left out. Everything's included. Because when our Lord said he had all power, that meant he's got it all. The magnitude of his power is all-encompassing. So how does that apply to us? Well, this morning, I used some power to get out of bed. Is that power included in all power? Absolutely. That means I'm borrowing the power I'm using today from the Lord. And he's loaning it to me so I can use it. And whenever he's ready for me to stop using it, he can just not give me permission to use it anymore. Then it's over for me. But see, that's true for everyone else too. The power that you use to get out of bed this morning, you're borrowing from him as well. And do you know that when there's an obstacle in your path, it's getting its power from him also. And when he's ready for it to move, it will have no power to resist his command. You see, the financial issue that we had going into Italy, it looked like it had a lot of power. That wasn't a small price tag for the trip to Italy. It was going to be expensive, and I didn't have the money to take care of it. But its power, God said, okay, I'm ready to remove that. And he just took it out of the way. Because he has all power. Does that mean he has enough power to get you through your toughest day? Absolutely. But it doesn't stop there. Does it mean he has enough power to overcome any enemy? Absolutely. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus did not say, I have enough power. Enough power is given unto me. It didn't even say more power or the most power. He's got it all. The magnitude of his power is all encompassing. So there is nothing that can stand in his way of doing what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Because anything that stands in his way, he can pull the plug, and it will have no power to stand before him. Psalm 46 said, the nations raged, the Lord spoke, and the earth melted. Because when God speaks, things happen. So the magnitude of his power is all-encompassing. The authority of his power is absolute. When our Lord speaks, everything obeys. In the bottom of a boat, in a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is sleeping because he knows he doesn't have anything to fear. His disciples are scared to death, and they wake him up, and the Lord stands up and says, peace, be still. And the winds and the seas obeyed him. A centurion came to Jesus and said, my servant is sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Please heal him. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come and heal him. The centurion said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers unto me. I tell one to go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion knew that Jesus' authority was not limited by geography. He did not have to be physically present with the sick person for the sickness to obey his voice. And by the way, there's no other voice that sickness will listen to. But it knows the voice of its maker, and it will obey when he speaks. But this does not give us the option to say, hey, he's got the absolute authority, it's his fault. Because he told us we have a choice. He put it to Israel this way. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Like a pop quiz. Only gives us the answer. He says, choose life, that you and your family may live. But if someone else chooses to resist God, it does not give us an excuse to disobey. Because in Psalm 76, the Lord says, the wrath of man shall praise the Lord, and the remainder of wrath he will restrain. Pharaoh had a lot of wrath for the children of Israel. He was resisting them at every turn. And as long as that wrath was giving God an opportunity to demonstrate his power, God allowed it to continue. Now, he was punishing it all the way through. Every one of the plagues of Egypt was sent to demonstrate God's power over one of the gods of Egypt, one or more of the gods of Egypt. When it reached the point that Pharaoh's wrath was no longer bringing glory to God, God ended it. And Pharaoh and his army were on the bottom of the Red Sea. Because he has all authority. He allows us to make our choice. We can choose to submit and be blessed, or we can choose to resist and suffer the consequences. But someone else choosing to resist cannot stop us from doing what God wants us to do. Because our God is able to restrain any wrath that doesn't bring glory to him. The authority of his power is absolute. And the timing of his power is not someday by and by. You see, sometimes we get this idea in our mind that we need to hang on by the skin of our teeth and the trying to claw our way to make it through until God can save us. But it's not like that at all. You see, his power didn't start or isn't going to start when he comes back to call us home to be with him. Because Jesus did not say, all power shall be given unto me. Is not a future word. Is a present reality. And Jesus said it almost 2,000 years ago. I was thinking it may be over, we're probably close to 2,000 years ago. We're right close to that point. When he was speaking then, he was telling them he already has the power to overcome any difficulty. He has the power. It's already his. We're not trying to hang on by our own strength until he can save us, because he's already got all power. The timing of this power is a present reality. And the person of this power is in him, not in us. You see, Jesus did not say, all power is given unto you. He didn't even say, I give all power unto you. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In John chapter 15, the scripture clearly tells us, without him, we can do nothing. Not we can't do it right. Not we can't do enough. We can accomplish exactly zero without him getting involved. But the flip side of that is also true, because the scripture clearly says, with God, all things are possible. Another place it says, nothing is impossible with God, because he has all power. It belongs to him, and he wants to use it through us to reach the world. In John chapter 14, it talks about abiding in him. If we abide in him and his words abide in us, we can ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. If you plug into the source of all power, God can use you in a way that you cannot possibly imagine, because he's got the power to make it happen. Do you know there are times God's going to ask you to do things that require more strength than you have? I had heard somebody say one time that God will never ask you to do something you can't do. Well, that's not true. He asked Lazarus to come forth out of the grave. Lazarus was dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. But it didn't keep him from obeying Jesus. Because when God speaks, his power goes with it. The power to accomplish his will. So there are times God's going to ask you to do things that require more strength than you have, and that's okay, because it's not more than he can carry you through. There are times God's going to ask you to do things that require more resources than what you have at your disposal. But it's okay, because he can open the windows of heaven. Because he has all the riches of glory that he can shower down on you to accomplish what he wants to accomplish when he wants to accomplish it. There are times he's going to ask you to do things that require more wisdom than what you have. But that's okay. In James chapter 1, verse number 5, he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. He's generous with it. And upbraideth not. He doesn't scold you for asking. And it shall be given to him. He said, if you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. Only ask in faith, nothing wavering. Our greatest ability for God is our availability to do what he asks. That's what he's given to us, is to make the decision, yes, I'm going to submit, or no, I'm not. I strongly recommend submit, because that brings life. God can take care of everything else. If God wants you to do something, it doesn't matter if it's walking on water. Do you know that Peter did not have the ability to walk on water before Jesus said come? But it didn't keep him from climbing down out of the boat. Lazarus didn't have the ability to get up and come forth, but it didn't keep him from obeying the Lord. Gideon and his 300 men didn't have the ability to fight the innumerable horde of Midianites. But God said, this is what I want you to do. And God brought a victory that day over the enemy, a victory that they never could have imagined. See, the power's not in us. We don't need to look at a situation like Moses did and says, God told Moses, he said, I'm going down to Egypt to get my people out. About three verses later, he says, you're going to go tell Pharaoh. And about five verses after that, he says, when I bring them out, you get to lead them. But we don't need to be like Moses who said, oh, I'm not good enough. Moses made an excuse. He said, I can't talk. The Lord said, who made your tongue? Who gave you the ability to talk that you have? God has a place and a purpose for the way he made you. And it doesn't matter if you think you're not able. The truth is, in order to accomplish anything for him, without him, you're not able. But with him, all things are possible. Because the power is in him, not in us. So the magnitude of his power is all-encompassing. The authority of his power is absolute. The timing of his power is a present reality. The person of this power is in him, not in us. The purpose he told us about that power is when we get down to verse number 19. That's where we get to the go ye therefore. He says, I want you to be involved in what I'm doing. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But he has chosen to work through his churches and his people to get the gospel to the world. He asked us, when you see a need, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. Because the Lord works through laborers. The only way I can wrap my head around that is if you've ever had kids. My son, when he was 2 and 3 years old, him helping me with the job did not make it faster. But it made it better because I got to spend time with my son doing something constructive. Our God doesn't have to have our strength to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But he wants us to be a part of it. He wants to include us in what he's doing. Both right here in St. Paul and the surrounding areas and around the world. Not because he needs our strength or our wisdom or our resources. He's got all of those things. Because he wants us to be a part of what he's doing and have that fellowship with him that you can't get any other way. Other than being in the middle of his will and allowing him to use you. But the choice he gave us is submit and be blessed, or resist and suffer the consequences. Because he gave us a choice as to whether we want to have that fellowship with him or not. When God asks you to do something, say yes. Because it'll be worth it. Because he is not limited. There is nothing that can keep him from doing what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But he's chosen to work through his people. And he wants you to get involved in something that is so much bigger than you that you cannot even imagine. God wants to do miracles in your life and in the lives of those around you. But he wants you to get involved. We can't save a soul. But he's given us the job of delivering the message that he can. It wasn't Moses' power that got the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses was the messenger. And Moses was a faithful servant who was faithful in all his house. I'm not saying he didn't make some mistakes, but in Hebrews, the Lord says he was faithful in all his house. And that is a great thing to aspire to. Lord, use us to do what you want to do, whether we're able or not. Because with him, all things are possible. And he didn't stop there. He left us with a promise. The end of verse 20 says, lo, I am with you always. even unto the end of the world. The one who has all power lives in you. And he wants to use that power through your life to change the lives of those around you. And he can do it because he's able. If we're willing to say, yes, Lord, and just step out by faith and do whatever it is he's asked. That obstacle that's in our way, God may move it. God may carry us over it. But whatever, he's going to deal with it because he has all power. When we first went to Italy, I told you about my experience with, how am I going to pay for this? But we ran into several things throughout our time in Italy that were bigger than me. You know, when you're in a foreign country and you don't know where to find anything, there are a lot more things that are bigger than you. I ran into the same problem here in the States. I'd know where to get the answer. But in Italy, I didn't. It happened pretty frequently, actually. But every single time God did something. Every single time God said, Matthew, I've got this. The answers weren't always the same. I didn't always know where the answer was coming. Well, I know where it was coming from. It's coming from God. But I didn't know which direction he was sending it to me. But the point is, he always answered. God will always do his work through his willing vessels. By his power, not ours. Now back in the airport in Italy, we needed masks. Because our bags were all checked. If we didn't get on the plane, we didn't have any way to take care of ourselves in the meantime. And it's like, Lord, what are you going to do? I'm looking through and I'm asking everybody in this long line, does anyone know where I can get a mask? Most of them are pretending I don't exist. That's what Europeans do when they don't want to deal with you. And so I'm asking everybody in this line, do you know where I can get masks? Do you know where I can get masks? Most of them are pretending I don't exist. And I hear a voice coming from over here. It says, hey, you need masks? Well, that got my attention. I turned around and I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, come here. So I walked over to him. He said, how many do you need? I said, I need three. One, two, three. Here you go. Have a nice day. So I turned around. I took the mask back to where my wife and son were waiting. We all put our masks on. And we got ready to walk up to the gate agent. We showed her our boarding passes. She said, your bag's too big. You can't carry it on the plane. Satan wanted to kick us while we were tired. I won't say down, because we were in God's hands, but we were tired. Satan wanted to try to discourage us and say it's not worth it serving the Lord, because he's not going to help you out. Do you know? God wanted to prove one more time, Matthew, I've got this. Do you know that that gate agent checked that bag clear through to Oklahoma City free of charge? The only reason I was dragging it is we'd already checked our maximum number of bags and I didn't want to pay the fee to check that thing in the first place. And she took care of it free of charge. You see, God has it all under control. It does not matter the size of the problem. Our God is bigger. It does not matter the size of the job. Italy is a huge field, a tremendous job to be done. But our God is big enough. Because our God has all power. And he wants to use it through you to reach the people where he's placed you. Say yes. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you'd work in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.